I was watching a video of Tiger Woods in his prime, winning the US Open at Pebble Beach by 15 strokes. Pure dominance. But what struck me wasn't just his performance, but it was what he said afterward, years down the track. When asked if he wanted to be feared, Tiger replied, "It's not about fear. I just want to be more consistent and avoid mental errors." In this episode, we're breaking down what that really means and how you can apply Tiger's mindset to build your own consistency, mental strength, and high performance, no matter what game you're playing. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. So, funny story, I just recorded one of the best podcast episodes of all time, but I forgot to hit record. So, even when you've got clear process and you're performing at your best, sometimes you can miss a critical step like I did, which was record. So we'll try again. It's definitely not going to be as good as the first version, but anyway, we'll try it, see how we go. So I was watching a video this afternoon down a YouTube rabbit hole of sporting moments, and it was Tiger absolutely blitzing the field at the 2000 US Open at Pebble Beach, one of the toughest courses out there. And the US Open was notorious for long, rough, challenging conditions. It's on the coast there. And he's blitzed the field by 15 strokes. He was unbelievable. And the highlights really showed that. There's also some interviews with some of the people that he beat for second, third, fourth, and fifth, names like Ernie Els, Fred Couples, Padraig Harrington, talking about how they actually played some pretty decent golf, but they were just so far off the pace, it wasn't funny. There was also an interview with Mark O'Meara talking about how he'd played the three practice rounds in the lead up to the Open, and how he just remember being in awe of this guy that wasn't missing a shot. And he said, "I remember thinking this guy is the greatest golfer that I've ever seen." He was just in that sort of zone at the time. And then part of the video was they were interviewing him further down the track, and he said, the interviewer asked him, "Did you want your competitors to fear you in 2000, and do you think that they did?" Now, thinking back then, the amount of times when he was in contention on the final day of a major that he just found a way to win, I don't know if it was fear or whether they just resigned themselves to they were playing for second or whatever it was. But Tiger's answer was interesting, and he said, "It's not about implementing fear." He said, "I would just want to be more consistent than them." So while he mentions them, what he's really saying is, "I just want to be more consistent." He didn't make it about them. He's not trying to create fear in their head or implement fear, like he said. He's like, if I can be more consistent, then their reactions will be what they will be. And that's exactly what was happening, right? His level of consistency was crazy. He said something else that was really interesting. He said it kind of like almost a throwaway line. He goes, "I really shouldn't make any mental errors." Now, at the time, like, mentally so strong, unbelievably strong. But he's also been in training for that mental strength from a very, very young age. He was learning golf from the moment he could walk. And his dad, who was he'd been in the army and was teaching him all these disciplines and the mental strength, also like the strength of being a black man in the US where golf wasn't really the sort of, a lot of places just wouldn't have been able to play. And so he would have come across a whole lot of different reactions on the golf course that his dad helped him to toughen up and to show just who he was and how good he could be. So what is it we can learn from that? Well, you hear people talk about the 10,000 hours, and And for Tiger, it would have been so many more than 10,000 hours, but not just from a golf perspective, but just that mental strength and the discipline he learned. And while I'm not sharing this so that you can be the best possible golfer, although you may be able to apply some of this to your golf, but this is about how you can be a high performer at an even higher level in the areas that you've got your, not your 10,000 hours, but your 100,000 hours. And you might listen to this and say, oh, there's nothing I've got 100,000 hours for. Well, I want to tell you that you absolutely have. There's a golden thread that runs through your life, that there's repeated patterns, repeated ways of how you showed up the same, how you problem solved, how you faced the same challenges. They were different, but the same pattern was emerging. And it's the places of struggle that you've had. And because you've done it alone for so much of your life, that you've been really resourceful and you've come up with solutions and you've adapted, and but because it's a struggle, you still feel like you can be so much better, and you can. But this is where you find your absolute zone of genius, your place of optimal effectiveness, because you've done the 100,000 hours. You've continued the metaphor, like Tiger. He's hit that many shots, that many swings of the club. You've had that many swings of the club of that particular challenge in your life. Now, I'll give you an example. For me, I grew up being naturally an extrovert that craved connection and attention, but I was a shy kid. I'd had that shyness reinforced. Oh, he's shy, you know, like he's so quiet, all these different things. But in environments where I was comfortable, then I'd be the loudest. I'd be a bit cheeky, a bit mischievous. I brought people together. I was a leader even from a young age because it just came naturally. But then put me in an environment where I wasn't comfortable, starting school, in front of adults, where I didn't know people particularly well. Well, it was a massive, massive challenge. So I spent a lot of time observing the world and looking at other people who were struggling, and I instinctively knew when people needed connection and when they needed encouragement and all of these things that I needed but I wasn't getting, I could see in other people. And I can remember different times in my life where I'd provide that for people that clearly needed those things, because your 100,000 hours is tied to that thing that you went through alone and developed so much resilience and problem solving and so many skills and strategies that you don't want anyone else to have to go through that alone. And this is where you find alignment, this is where you find authenticity, and it's where you find purpose. And I'm sure Tiger got so much purpose out of his golf. He was doing it for himself, of course, but you think of what he showed was possible for someone of his background, his heritage. His mum, Thai, I'm pretty sure, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, and his dad, Afro-American, and the challenges he would have faced being a golfer in a country where that wasn't the norm, and it certainly in a lot of places wasn't even acceptable. So being able to show just what was possible for someone of his background. And you look at the impact he had, like, how could that not be purposeful for him? And your 100,000 hours is no different. There is an ability for you to have an impact that will help so many other people. And if you apply that to performance, it's like when you show up in that authenticity, in that way that you operate the best, that part of your identity, the part of your personality that it comes most natural and it has been honed through these challenges where you've used these skills to get better and better and better. When you show up like that, then that's where the consistency is going to come. That same level of consistency that Tiger had in that 2000 US Open. Not necessarily in your golf, of course, but in what you do. Whatever your thing is, Now, for me, it's conversation. It's bringing people together, joining the dots, connecting people who need to be connected, helping people to see themselves in a much more empowered way. It's what I described. I didn't have that support, that encouragement, that people there to lift me up. And so I've always looked at the world through that lens. And there will be a lens that you look at through the world at as well. And the more you can find that authenticity, find your zone and show up more that way, you will find consistency in every area of your life. It's an absolute game changer. And the amount of times in my career when I was trying to do or think or like detail my way out of problems, trying to work out how to fix something or how to do something, it's a complete opposite strategy for my natural personality type and my natural authenticity. And there's a formula for this. So go and do that timeline of your life that I've encouraged you to do before. Just recording everything you can think of from a youngest age. What environments were you in? Who was there? What was happening? What were your struggles? What went well? What didn't go so well? Because it's particularly in those earlier years, the pivotal things will come back to you in memories. And then keep looking through the timeline and look for the success and find what was good and find where the struggles are. And both of those areas are going to have clues to that golden thread, to that part of you that just comes naturally well. And the place that it's going to show up, the challenge is it's also a place of contradiction. But because it comes so naturally to you, you'll have the thought, oh, that's just what I do. Like, isn't that what everyone does? Like, you'll think it's not that big a deal. But then if you mention it to someone else, that, you know, I'm able to see this and I'm able to see that, they'll go, I can't do that. Like, I hear it all the time when people talk about whether they're good at detail or they're good at innovation, all those things. I can't do those things naturally. Like, they're the sort of things that I need help with, I need support with. But again, put me in a room full of people and I've got to go out there and network and make conversation or connect people. You need to go speak to this person, or like, I could do that all day, every day. It just comes so naturally to me. So it's about finding where that golden thread runs and then bring it to everyday life. That's where you find consistency. That's where you find fulfillment. Like I said, you'll find purpose. You'll find so much more joy out of your day-to-day. Performance will go to a whole other level. And people will notice. People will see the difference. And you'll start getting encouragement. And they'll start saying, wow, you're really good at that. You should do that here. Or what have you thought about this? It just... because people, I love to see people thriving. When I was learning about public speaking, one of the best things I heard was the audience is willing you to succeed. In your head, you're thinking, oh, I don't want to stuff this up, everyone's going to laugh at me, but the whole audience is willing you to succeed. And that's true in any situation. People want people to go well. So if you remember that, then it changes so much about what you're worried about, what people are going to think and all these different things. They're not thinking that. And if they are making some sort of judgment in their head, it's actually a projection of their own self-judgment. That is it. Easy to say, I know, not so easy to actually to move through. But the more you can show up being just what comes most naturally to you, that most authentic part of you, the thing that when you're doing it at your highest level gives you goosebumps, makes the hair stand up the back of your neck, well then everything comes so much easier. And if you want to register your interest in my new profile tool that will help you find your high performance identity, then shoot me a note and I'll make sure you're on the list to be one of the beta testers. You'll be the first to get the profile. You'll be first to get all of the video training that goes with that. And yeah, for the first, say, five people, they'll get it absolutely free. Is that something you're interested in? Let me know. And yeah, stay tuned for more information coming out about that over the next few months. Also some other exciting news that I will share with you on the next episode. Something that will help you even further and is a pretty cool moment for the podcast as well. I'll share that with you next episode. See you then. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.